Looking for a way to reduce your carbon footprint and make a positive impact on the environment? Look no further than Lightfoot Company. Our refillery and sustainable home goods store in Savannah, Georgia is dedicated to helping you reduce your use of plastic and single-use products. From reusable water bottles and bags to bulk eco-friendly cleaning products and personal care items, we have everything you need to live a more sustainable lifestyle. Plus, our friendly staff and knowledgeable staff is always available to help you make informed choices and find products that are right for you. So why wait? Visit Lightfoot Company today and start making a difference.
Before we start this episode, I want to give a big shout out to Zipster, local web people who help entrepreneurs and artists make kick-ass websites and get found online. Visit Zipster.com to find out more information. And on to the episode.
This is Brad Pereira, and you're listening to Free Pizza.
Free Pizza, your platform for creatives, and today we have the amazing and magnificent Wawila Mugala. How you doing?
Doing good.
Yes. Was that correct? That was right.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Yeah, you did good. Thank Lord. I gotta call myself out on this. So I actually looked at Wawila's bio on their Instagram. Any pronouns?
She, her.
She, her. Perfect. And I saw LA in your bio, and I thought you were in Los Angeles, and I was so confused. I was like, I just saw Lula last year in New York, and she didn't say anything about Los Angeles. That's wild. And you were definitely in Arizona, and that was the pronunciation of your name. So that's just silly. But what we. Oh my gosh. But Wawila, artist and designer based in Arizona right now, getting your MFA, which is amazing. And you were at UNCG for New Media Design. I did not know that.
Yeah, that's how I heard about you.
That makes so much sense. I was going through your everything you've done, and of course, your About Me is my first thing I hit. And I was just like, wait a minute, UNCG, that's crazy. I know Sean's from Greensboro, and I get, did y'all meet then?
No. Sean and I actually met in Charlotte, but okay. I knew Andrew.
Andrew, which Andrew?
The graphic designer.
Duke.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The artist. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
This is making way more sense.
The worlds are colliding.
This is making. So when did you graduate from UNCG?
2019.
Okay. And I was in 14. Yeah. So obviously we probably didn't have a lot of overlap there. So that makes a lot of sense. Anyways. Yeah. So new mutual friends, Mitch, I met Wawila in New York officially, during mm-hmm. Sean's graduation. Shout out to Sean. And you're just a pleasant and wonderful person. I knew you were an artist, but I didn't dive into your work until recently. And I was just like, this has to happen. So I'm very grateful. And you're Arizona. Thank you for giving me your time. And we're going to learn about you right now. But first, we got an icebreaker question that you picked virtually. And we're going to see what we got. So describe a time you got into big trouble when you were younger.
When I was younger, I was such a good kid. Honestly.
Yo, that's fine.
Maybe my parents would say different, but I think I was like really shy and obedient. But I remember, you know, there was always that rule of like, don't come home. Come home before the street lights are on.
Yes.
And I remember one day I was just out playing with my friends. I knew the street lights were on, but I was having too much fun. And on my way home, I was already crying because I knew I was in so much trouble. And my mom was like waiting at the door. Like the teens did not faze her.
Oh yeah, you getting ready to get it. Oh man, that's hilarious.
I had never been so scared in my life, but that's just like a memory that's deep ingrained in my brain because it was like the walking back was so scary and I was like already crying.
Because you knew it was happening.
Yeah.
You're like, I am so screwed right now, but hey, it's whatever. I have fun with my homies.
Exactly.
Mine was a lot worse. I definitely was throwing rocks across the street over cars one time. And I actually hit a car. Yo, then that's some stupid stuff. My mom's very strict. This is something I should not have been doing, and I know that.
Right.
So I ran in crying, and sure enough, the car spun around and came in, knocked on my door, and my mom answered. And when she told my mom what I did, I mean, that was probably the whipping of my life, I think. I think that's probably the top three whippings of my whole entire life.
You have top three?
Top three. There is a couple more on top of that of me being stupid, but that was probably one of the worst ones of my life, and that was me being stupid. So that's mine. But no, let's get into the juice of it. I'm so excited. Your work is so amazing. So before we dive into this, I was me going through your work. So your graphic design work, I saw Lowe's, Credit Karma. Were those mock-ups or did you really work for them?
Yeah, I really worked at Lowe's in the design creative team.
Dope.
I think around 2020 or 2021.
Okay.
Yeah, so I came into Lowe's as a junior graphic designer, and
dope.
I did a lot of everything at Lowe's. I did. I mean, Lowe's is huge, so anything from emails. I designed a lot of emails, in store displays, gift cards, like everything.
That's amazing.
And then, yeah, similarly at Credit Karma, but Credit Karma was more like, do you have Credit Karma? Like the emails and stuff?
I've seen Credit Karma via ads, but I don't really have the...
Okay. Yeah. Well, they do a lot of like email campaign.
Okay.
Kind of creatives. So I did a lot of that, a lot of stuff for their in-app design creative assets, which was really great because Credit Karma is like all about collaging.
Yeah.
And
yes,
I love digital collage.
Yes,
I
yes.
love collage. So it was really perfect. And Credit Karma was awesome.
That's amazing. And that was me getting ahead of myself. I got really excited when I saw it on your page. So I want to ask you that, like, right, you know, out the gate. But no, let's take it back because you have lived a very to me, a very wild life when you were younger. I mean, born in Africa, then you had some time, was it in Sweden?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, so let's start back. Let's go back a little bit.
Kind of
tell us about your adventures when you were younger, and then we'll get into where your passion for design and art came from.
Yeah, so I was born in Zambia, and all of my family was and is still there. My dad pursued like a PhD and ended up getting an opportunity in Sweden.
Oh, dope.
Yeah. And that's why we ended up moving to Sweden.
Okay.
My dad was studying abroad. PhDs can go anywhere from like 3 years to 15 years. So, you know, it can be a while to get it. So when I was 5, we left Zambia. So I was pretty young when I left, and we moved to Sweden. And we moved to the United States after, I think I was like 11 when we moved to the US.
Okay.
And we got that through the visa lottery. So that's how my family ended up here. Which is always so random to me.
Yeah, it sounds random.
And we lived like along the East Coast. So we moved here, we moved to Delaware, and then upstate New York, and then North Carolina. And that's where my family was like in high school, not moving anymore. Because like pretty much it was like every 2 years, we were like getting up, moving. So when we got to high school, they were like, we're staying here. Like, this is where we're going to be. And it took me a while to believe it. Like, after like the third year, I was like, oh, okay.
We're actually staying here.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to plant roots and make genuine connections or long lasting connections within 2 years. So that had to be very exhausting.
Yeah, when I was younger, I mean, I feel really fortunate that it wasn't like a traumatic experience for me. I never had like terrible experiences moving. I feel lucky that I always like found friends or community. But now that I'm older, I really appreciate it. But when I was younger, obviously, I'm like, I make friends and then we go.
Yes.
Oh, when do I get to grow with my friends?
Yes, exactly. It's crazy. When I hear this from friends, I've interviewed a lot of people who have, you know, were either army kids or just military kids and went all around. I'm like, man, I bet it'd be so much fun. They were like, not really, because I was in North Carolina all my life until I moved to Savannah, you know, last year. They're like, you actually got to build a solid friendships. Yeah, I got to see a lot of the world, but like, pros and cons.
Yeah, there are pros and cons. Like, I always, when I meet people like you that have, like, been able to have, like, roots and, like, home is home, you know, where home is. Like, I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that time where you're moving around, were there any inspiration for you to create or get into the arts back then? Or did that start kind of when you get, when you got more settled in North Carolina?
You know, I've always been, like, an art, I've always been interested in art. Like, I really can't. It's like when I was aware of my consciousness.
Yes.
I was just into it. I didn't know that I was going to go this far with it, you know, but I was always someone who, like, craft was my favorite time. Oh. You know, I always loved paint and drawing and just, I always loved all of it. So I can't even remember a time when it was something I wasn't. It's just always been.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
What do you remember? Do you remember anything specific of like, were you like making anything? I mean, obviously you're working on all kinds of mediums when you're younger, but were you collaging back then? Were you painting more? Were you doing more illustration? Were you making Play-Doh structures out of stuff? Like, what were you mostly doing that you can remember at that young age?
So I can really give a lot of credit to like after school programs. Like my parents, when I was growing up for a long time, we were just always in like after school care activity, things like that. And I had some great, just like crafty teachers who would use what they had. They would be like, do you have this at home? Do you have that at home? Okay, we're going to make something out of it.
Yes.
Ooh. I don't think it was ever a particular medium. It was more like, we're going to be resourceful with what we have around us and we're going to make it into something. And that's, I just fell in love with making, like creating and making.
Oh, dope.
It was just fun.
Yeah. That's dope. I mean, so you were, that seed was planted at a young age and all throughout. That's really dope. Were your parents in, on board with it too? Were they let you kind of be free with it?
I feel so fortunate. Yes. Like, my parents have always been really like supportive of like my creative interests.
Yeah.
They may not always like understand or know a ton of art history, you know, whatever, but like, they always thought it was great, and they were like, if you love it,
then let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's dope. So good. So all throughout, even till now, I mean, you were just creating all your life. Can you remember any?
I think I tried a lot of things. I always knew, I never was someone who was like, painting is going to be my thing. You know how like some, like I teach students now, and like some of them are just want to draw. Like,
yeah.
They just want to illustrate. I was never like that. I just liked whatever was in front of me. Like, if we're gonna use paint today, cool. If we're gonna draw with charcoal, that's cool too. It was until I got to like college that I started really honing in on like a medium, you know. Like,
yes. Okay. I love that. So were there any pivotal moments before college that maybe kind of changed, that made you want to take it seriously as far as you studying it in college, or did you kind of just flow into it naturally to UNCG?
Was there any pivotal moment that gave me that? I can't think of one before college.
Okay. Well, yeah. I feel like it's just very built in, very natural. It is probably was it probably very second nature to you to create. So obviously you go to school to study.
And you know what's so funny? I didn't take a lot of art classes in high school. Like I didn't.
Wow.
I think I maybe took two art classes.
Very interesting. That's very impressive. So you're very self-driven. Okay.
Well, I always knew that like I would do something creative. I also was really, so there were like two major interests that I had. It was like creative arts and like writing.
Yeah.
Like reading. So I don't know, maybe just during that time I was more interested. I don't know why, but I didn't take a lot of art classes in high school.
That's dope. But you were still doing your thing on the side, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
And were you like making like mood boards or resolution things like collaging? I know a lot of people do that at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. I was on Tumblr all throughout high school.
Yes. I love a Tumblr kid. I love that.
Huge Tumblr kid. So I was definitely a mood board. Mood board, you know, whatever those editing softwares were like before Photoshop.
Yep. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
I love talking to people who grew up around my time who were like back in the day before the stuff. Now we were using this different things to, just show our creativity and all that. And Tumblr was a huge, huge machine. So
I mean, it exposed me to so many like ways of creativity.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so you're doing your thing, obviously, naturally throughout, the years. And then why did you choose UNCG? Because you were in Charlotte at the time, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is also like a journey story.
I'm ready for it.
So when I graduated high school, I hated school. Like I didn't want to do anymore. I didn't want to go to college. I only applied to community college because I didn't want to go to school.
Yeah.
And my parents were gonna have that happen, so I was like, okay, I'll go to community college, but I'm only gonna do 2 years and I'm done.
Yeah.
It's so funny now because I'm in grad school, but
like literally, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you're literally doing an MFA right now in a different state.
Back then, I was like, I am done with all of this.
Okay.
Like, so I applied to CPCC, and that is where I started my like educational journey. That is where I started taking like printmaking classes, which is where I like fell in love with that process. I also started taking like Photoshop, like Creative Cloud classes around that time.
Yeah.
And then I transferred to UNCC.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I transferred to UNCC for about a year. I wasn't loving it. I also was like so unsure of like which I didn't think at the time that I might major in graphic design, or did I want to. I was also considering like a lot of other majors because I guess I wanted to be like safe or smart or one of these things. And spent a year at UNCC, didn't love whatever was happening there, and that's how I ended up at UNCG.
Okay. Did you?
Yeah.
Because obviously UNCG is obviously a very, in my opinion, prominent art school in the Carolinas. Did that kind of like, I guess, pique your interest in far as going there?
Yeah. I liked what the program sounded like, the art program. At that point, I wasn't settled on if I was going to go with printmaking or design. I knew I wanted to do one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And UNCG kind of, I remember reading that like you didn't have to like fully commit to one thing, that you could do a lot of things at once.
Oh, okay. Oh, dope.
At least that was like when I was just reading up on it. I was just looking up programs. I looked at NC State. I looked at UNCG. I looked at what was like possible for me. And yeah, I just needed a bit more wiggle room. And I thought about that, and that UNCG is probably like the best choice, and it wasn't too far of a move.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of random, but that's how I ended up at UNCG. Yeah.
I like that. I like you. You came a Spartan. Yes, came a Spartan. Let's go. I love my time there, though. I thought it was fun. So as far as you, just, I want to hear about your highlights at the school. I've actually interviewed a bunch of people. It's cool. Andrew has been on the show that went to UNCG, so I'm familiar with a bunch of professors just through friends. But yeah. Tell us about your experience there. Maybe why you honed in, what you honed in on, because obviously you eventually picked a major. Can you kind of tell us, run us through that right quick?
Yeah. First, I loved my time at UNCG too. I feel like I've met some of the most amazing people. I also really, Greensboro is amazing to me. Just yes. Like the history, the community, it just feels really, I visit every time I go to North Carolina.
Yes.
The program was, I feel really lucky because I really connected with like a handful of faculty when I got there. And that is so like, I didn't realize how crucial that was till I got there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know that you're missing something until you realize like, wow, this is what support feels like. This
yes.
is what, like, faculty that are genuinely interested in your practice, this is what it feels like, you know? And so I took a lot, I went heavy on the new media and design when I got there, and I just ended up staying on that road because I think there was also the practical aspect that I could see like a career.
Ooh,
in it.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
versus like, okay, if I were to take a printmaking class and major in printmaking, I couldn't really see like a clear career track for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I was just really enjoying, I was enjoying digital design a lot. So,
okay.
It was something I was excited about. I loved scanning things. I loved finding images online. I loved going through archives, all of that.
That's dope. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Were you, as far as your classes were you still able to, I mean, were you pretty challenged with your classes? I mean, obviously you were excited about the subject matter, but
mm-hmm.
how was yeah. like, yeah, how was curriculum, if I had to, you know,
ask? Oh, curriculum wise, was I challenged? I was, because I think now, looking back now, I feel like I thought that like I knew everything that I was doing and I didn't need any feedback, and that whatever feedback these people were giving me, they just didn't get it.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And a lot of the feedback I would get is like, you have to know the rules to break the rules.
Right.
I was really interested in like experimental, like designers, experimental artists, like people that are just like doing weird stuff. And I wanted to do that weird stuff, but I didn't know how to do the basic stuff to do the
to
weird stuff.
Break it. Yes. Absolutely. I've heard that actually a couple of times. Cause to me, it's just like, oh, you're probably going to it and just do some weird shit. It's like, no, we actually start this and then we end up tweaking things and then
yes.
it turns into that, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I, at least in my digital classes, there were like some really strong, I mean, people were already doing Photoshop. Now I teach students who have been like using Photoshop their whole life, it seems, but like, seeing other people that were like really good at it also challenged me to be like, okay,
yes, yeah,
I need to take this seriously.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I heard the professors and the critiques were pretty like, they didn't really like, you know, sugarcoat anything. They gave it to you like it, which is good for growth. You know, I used to be a not fan of a critique because I'm like you. I'm like, oh, you just don't get it. You know what I'm saying? But no, critiques actually are very helpful.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I had a design faculty once. I forgot what his word for word, what it was, but he was like, basically, to sum it up, he had said something along the lines of like, there's not much to look at here. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to. And I was like fuming.
Oh my.
But now when I look back, he was right.
Wow. There we go. See, someone's trying to help you. That's all it was.
Right, right. But you need to go through that. You need to go through a bit of an ego.
Yeah. Especially in the arts. Especially in the arts. That's amazing. Were you able to still, because did you hone in your style there, or did that come later?
That came like towards the very end of my senior year.
Okay.
When I started like work towards something that I felt like, okay, this is something I can keep doing.
I like that. Can you tell us when, like, I guess that light bulb flicked off, like, okay, this is it, this is what I want to be doing or focusing on, whatever.
So I was doing a lot of digital collaging, and I got really interested in pattern because I grew up around a lot of textiles, like the wax fabric.
Yes.
And I got really interested in designing my own, like in Illustrator. And that was a huge light bulb moment because I haven't stopped. Like, that's something I still do to this day.
Yes, I saw that. Yes.
And it started with like merging. I was trying to explore photography. That was a very short photo shoots with my friends and my friends' friends, and then I'll collage it with these patterns that I was designing, and that ended up being like my senior thesis project.
Dope.
And I got a lot of great like feedback and response that like, there's something here, you should keep going in this direction, kind of thing. And I had an amazing faculty, Cheryl, who I still visit or hang out with whenever I get the chance.
Oh, dope.
But she was just really supportive. I think that made a huge difference. Like, sometimes you think what you're doing is cool, but hearing that like you're not that crazy and that it might be cool to other people is useful.
Yes. Absolutely. Because
especially when you're like younger, and it encouraged me to like keep pursuing that, and I just kept making those patterns in Illustrator, and I just haven't stopped.
That's so dope. So obviously you got through your final project, and obviously you graduated from UNCG New Media Design. That's so dope. So after that, obviously you did a number of things. You've had shows in Charlotte, and Charlotte, Boone was another one, right? Yeah, one in Boone, didn't you?
Yeah, I did one in Boone right after I graduated. Yeah.
Yes, and then the Goodyear stuff. So, wow, I looked through, I was like, what can we just kind of like pick and choose from? Because I know all those experiences are probably awesome. I definitely want to touch on the Goodyear Arts, but because you did a residency there for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And wait, did I meet you at Sean's show there? Were you at that one at his residency?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I saw you there before New York.
We'd met before then.
Yes, before New York. Anyways, sorry, side tangent. So let's go back to when you graduated. What was going through your head then? Did you know you want to go to grad school, or did you kind of just look for residencies and other things first?
Okay, yeah. So by my senior year, I fell so in love with education at that point. I had decided, like, I do want to go back to school. Like, I don't want to stop.
Nope.
I really learned the value of, like, when you actually get the chance to research what you're interested in, learning is fun.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like, Learning is fun. That was a huge realization for me in college.
Love it. Learning is fun when it's something you're interested in.
Yeah, and you have people that are just like, they're there to support it. Like, wow, amazing.
That's so dope.
But I did want to work. I did want to try designing, be a graphic designer. And so, yeah, I just decided to try and find a job after college and think a bit more about grad school, because I'd actually visited, I wanted to go to grad school right after undergrad. Mm-hmm. And I had like two mentors be like, take a break. Best advice ever.
Okay. Yes.
Like, live a little.
Yes.
And then think about it. Like, of course you should go to grad school if you want to, but it is so important, I think, to not do it right after undergrad. I think that's too much.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I stayed in Greensboro for a little bit, worked at a nonprofit as a graphic designer, then moved to Charlotte when I got the job at Lowe's. But all the while I was trying to still do things here and there. So the project I did in Boone was with the faculty at App State at the time.
Okay.
And they needed someone an artist who works in pattern, and they kind of wanted like a wallpaper kind of installation.
Yeah.
To go with a video project. And so, yeah, I collaborated with them, and I would do just like small, I would show wherever people had room for me to show. And it was really, it was fun. I think about like those days. It was really.
Absolutely. That's amazing.
Yeah, you just like pop up shows. Do you have work? Yes. Let's just get some magnets and throw it up. You know,
that's
like,
it. I love that.
Nice. Yeah.
How was it with? Do you enjoy collaboration with? You know, like the thing you did with Boone and all that. Do you actually like the? Exactly. That's why I wanted to ask. Collaboration usually isn't as great as it sounds. You get different personalities.
The collaboration in Boone was great. Yes, because everyone kind of just like brought their own. It wasn't this thing of like, let's come up with one idea that worked. Like, there was already an idea. And so it was just about like facilitating.
Okay.
And you do your part, I do my part, and it's done. Now that I understand collaboration a lot better, I don't know if I'm someone that enjoys it.
Thank you. Yes, because it's not for everybody.
I don't think I'm like a good collaborator, not in a negative way, but in the sense of I'm either going to say, let's just do your thing.
Yeah.
Or we could do my thing. And sometimes it's like, it's going to be easier to just do your thing than for me to explain why your thing is, you know, like, it's just, I'm not a good collaborator.
Yeah, and I think that's okay. People always post in collaborations like, you don't have to force it. I mean, if it's not your thing, then move along. Just do your own thing, and that's fine.
I think it's a beautiful thing. Like, I have some good friends that are collaborators, and I'm in awe because I think it's beautiful.
Yes, 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 yes.
It's hard for me. I don't like it.
Thank you for being honest about that. I just want people to hear that. It's like, yo, this is. It's not what it is. It's not what it seems to be for a lot of people, and that's okay. So I'm glad you're very honest about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. But I do want to touch on Goodyear, because I know that was kind of the year you graduated from UNCG, right? Within that, right after?
Yeah.
In 19?
Yeah. Either the year after or that same year. I can't remember.
Yeah. I want to talk, because obviously Goodyear seems like a very, because I went with that one time for Sean's show, and it was super dope. I mean, that space was really nice. So talk about your experience, you know, with that.
Goodyear is awesome. I applied. It was actually my second time applying when I applied. I'd applied once before. But I'd gone to, what is that art space in Greensboro that also has residencies and is like really quirky?
Yeah, you're talking about Greensboro, no. No, GPS? Not GPS?
Oh my gosh, I'm going to remember when we're off the call.
Oh, was it? Oh my God. I think
it's
I know.
It's on the main street. Downtown Greensboro.
No, Artmongers? Not Artmongers.
Gonna forget.
Was it down February 1st near the Civil Rights Museum?
Yes.
I think that's GP. Is that not GP?
It's like a house.
Oh, it's a house. Oh my God, I'm blanking. I don't know.
I have to look it up. Greensboro Residency. Let me see if it'll come up.
Yeah, look it up. We got time.
Elsewhere.
Yes. You applied to Elsewhere.
No, I didn't apply to Elsewhere, but I went to an event at Elsewhere because I wasn't going to apply again to Goodyear. And I ran into a lot of Goodyear people and they're like, no, like you should apply again. Like I was in this show at Goodyear that happened before the applications. And a lot of people had seen it and they were like, are you going to apply? Are you going to apply? So I applied. And actually got it the second time.
Dope. Oh, let's go.
Yeah, it's just like from showing wherever people like your work. And
yes,
happened that way. And so, yeah, I went. I did Goodyear that summer or spring.
Yeah.
Spring.
Well, Goodyear, good for Goodyear?
Yes.
Did it end in June? I guess.
I think it ended before summer.
Okay.
It had ended summertime.
Gotcha. Because yeah. I think it said June 2019. That's me just kind of hit in my memory. I think it said June 2019. That's dope. So how did you feel about the residency? I mean, 6 weeks. I mean, did you just kind of work back and forth? Did you stay there or how did that work? The Free Pizza Podcast is proudly sponsored by Lucky House MFG. Lucky House is an eco-friendly screen printing and design studio with over 10 years of experience in the industry. They offer high-quality custom printing services, including apparel printing, graphic design, promo goods, and embroidery. Visit www.luckyhousemfg.com to get a quote and to learn more.
This is Jazz, and you're listening to Free Pizza.
Well, yeah, so I moved back to Charlotte. I was working. And Goodyear was also a huge milestone because my practice changed a lot there too.
Love it.
I think like next to caring about your craft, you need an art community.
Mm.
And Goodyear gave me that.
Yes.
Especially while I was in Charlotte and I just moved back. And I was doing a lot of collaging at that time. I started collaging a lot more like physically instead of digital collaging.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would scan those, I would print them really big. And I remember meeting Lilia, who's an artist at Goodyear, a part of Goodyear. And she knew, like, she's a printmaker. Or printmaking is something that she does. And she was like, well, have you thought of like screen printing on your collages before? Is that something that you might be interested in? And I was like, I've never screen printed. Like, can you show me how?
Oh, dope.
And that is something I still do to this day.
Yes.
Like I'm literally in grad school screen printing all the time because I met Lilia during my time at Goodyear, and it's a process that I just never got away from, you know?
Wow.
So yeah, Goodyear gave me art community. It gave me a whole new approach to my practice, to how I create. And also just like thinking about how to build a body of work, how to think about how you show your work and just the community portion of it was really awesome.
I love that. If you can put it into words, what would be the difference between like you being more hands-on screen printing process as far as compared to digital? Like, what does that do for you that makes it such a a big difference?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that digital is great because you have an infinite amount of chances What I love about screen printing and printmaking, even though it's frustrating and I don't think I'm like the best printmaker, is the like unpredictable nature of it. I like that sometimes ink picks up in certain ways and it has like a textural like thing that you can't predict about it all the time. I'm also not interested in having like perfect prints. If I was, that would be different, but I love the like you can't anticipate what exactly is going to happen when you're printing.
Yeah,
and that's really exciting for me because I think that I don't want to have everything feel so like neat.
Yeah, neat and crisp.
Yeah.
It's like almost like that worked for some things, but something is like, no, I needed to have a little bit of, you know, I guess, quote unquote mistakes or bleed overs or just whatever.
Exactly. That's what I love about collage. I love tearing things. I like smudges. I like.
Yeah.
I like all.
Yes, absolutely. And I guess you could come to ask because we're on the subject, you know, and I loved kind of in your bio, you're like, you kind of like. Actually, I want to read it. I want to read it verbatim because the way you had it was actually very beautiful. And I don't want to mess up your words. You like, my art engages with what feels inherently familiar and what feels foreign, a tension I live out daily. Rather than reject these parts of myself, I embrace them by layering images and patterns that speak to the idea that I am the sum of total of all my experiences. So as far as when you in interwoven matrix of cultures, language and identity. So when you're creating these pieces, and maybe did that start really during, was that always a thing you kind of embodied, or did that start really during college or during good year?
That really happened at the tail end of my senior year of college.
Perfect. So a good year, you already were embodying that.
Yes.
Okay.
I was starting to see that. Yeah.
Can you describe that process of like you finding these images, whether it be on magazines or the patterns you find? Like, how do you find things that like make you, what makes you like think of you and put yourself in that work? Like, how do you find things? How do you identify with things that you find out when you're searching for? You know what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to put it into words.
How do I source? This is the process.
Yes, exactly.
I gather a lot. I think like 70% of what I do is just finding things.
Okay.
I believe like in intuition. I don't think everything needs to end up in the art piece.
Okay.
You know, but I gather a lot of materials. If I'm out at a spot and there's a ton of paper and I think that paper is cool, I don't know why, but I'm gonna take the paper.
Okay.
You know? And that's what happened with like the magazines. I would just buy a lot of Essence magazines.
Perfect.
Then I started buying a lot of Ebony magazines. Then I started buying a lot of Jet magazines. I just collect. I collect. And something that I do workshops every now and again, and something that I like to prompt people is like, don't think about why you like it right now. Like, just.
Oh, okay.
I just take what I like first. Like, yes. I kind of start with this very intuitive, loose process. I'm not thinking about it too much. I'm not thinking about what this means. What are the repercussions of using this imagery? What does it mean to use that color? Like, I'm just letting myself be free in that moment. And then, you know, when I read, when I research, I'm like, oh, I have an image that like relates to this thing that I'm reading that I think is really interesting. So an example I can use is, I don't know, maybe I'm reading like a Toni Morrison book.
Okay, dope.
Right? And I collected a bunch of like beauty ads, and there's like a very poetic line that Toni Morrison writes about beauty and whatever, you know, in her eloquent, articulate
a goddess.
And I'm like, I really want to embody that through a collage. That's when I'm like, okay, this will guide me.
Oh, dope.
And lay things out. So for me, it's very much like collect, 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 read, 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 collect, collect, collect.
Read.
Yeah. And what are my ideas about those things? And then it's like a back and forth.
Back and forth, but all this works together. I love that. See, my season one, that spark an idea. Oh, I have images for that. And you go, and that's really nice.
I don't wait for ideas. It's like too. I don't wait for ideas, but I know that whenever I have an idea, I most likely have the materials that I need because I've just been gathering and collecting things.
Wow, it's in your blood just to collect, and then it'll make sense later. I love that. So when you're laying things out, either physically or digitally, obviously with collage, you're probably moving things around. You're probably just seeing where it fits in. How do you usually start? If you can... Every piece is probably different, I'm sure, but how do you get a piece started and lead us through it?
I always... Okay, so something with collage, I like to set out like two blank pages in front of me. I found that like it was actually better for me to work on like two at a time or three at a time than trying to make like one good one.
Okay.
You know, like it takes the pressure off of being like, this one needs to be good. But instead I'm like, oh, something interesting is happening here. Let me move over there. Something in... Because collage feels like it's way more intuitive for me. It's kind of like Tetris a bit, you know, and like my designer brain turns on and I'm like, composition. And I know there's some things that I always do, like if I'm using a figure, normally I'm not gonna have the head on the figure. Sometimes I use faces. I know that I like to have a lot of feathers and botanical things and oceanic things. Mm-hmm. So like there's some things I've noticed that I like to use that I can't explain. You know, I just I just know that these are things that I'm probably going to end up using in my work.
Absolutely. That's dope. No, I think, I'm always for when I meet a collagist because I think it's so intricate and it seems so tedious. I'm just like, how did you even start these pieces? And going through your site, I had the same thing. I was like, I have to ask, like, how? I mean, even seeing the different patterns together with other patterns and, you know, they're not necessarily like super similar, but they work.
Yeah.
And my brain doesn't work like that. You know, me and a photographer, I just work differently. So very impressed, but that's dope. I'm glad to hear your process.
The patterns are different. Those are always kind of fixed.
Okay.
Like the collage part is going to vary, but the patterns I've worked with like the same four or five for the last like 3 years, so that doesn't really change.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting. Okay, then it's a little different then. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's crazy how it all just kind of it's all you and all works. Your brain's just working like that. It's super dope. And how do you balance that with like doing graphic design stuff? Because you're still the things you did for Lowe's, and I'm sure you're doing other things that aren't on your site. So how do you balancing all these things?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. it was really hard. I think I tried to do design work while I was in grad school and it just got really overwhelming. So right now I'm doing very small jobs.
Okay.
Really small design jobs.
Yes.
I can't even do part-time. I'm just doing really small jobs.
Absolutely. Good. This seems more sane that way.
Yeah.
That's so dope. And you've had a number of shows. Were there any other shows that, obviously all your shows are probably wonderful, but any other shows between you going to grad school that really stuck out to you that you're really proud of?
Hmm.
You've done a bunch of them.
Which one am I really
actually
proud of?
I want to hear about Black Market.
Black Market, which one?
Because I keep forgetting what year you were, because I think it was on your CV. Because you were part of that show that was in Charlotte, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can you
the local street one?
I guess because I think on your CV it just said, hold on 1 second, I got it right here.
There were a few. I did one with Jamila
in 21 before. It didn't say who with, but in 21 you say you were part of the Black Market in Charlotte.
2020, that might be local street, the show.
Is it like a group show?
Yeah, I've only done group shows.
Okay.
With Black Market. But yeah, I did a lot of, again, like if they wanted, we were in community. Black Market, I remember it was like a really great place to just meet other Black creative people in Charlotte.
Yes.
So when I moved back there, I met a lot of people through Black Market. I met a lot of like other Black arts people. So whenever they did a show and I had work, I would show. And I think the 2021 had to be Local Street, which Carla curates, I think, on like a annual basis.
Okay.
I don't know if it's but it's a way of like highlighting all the creative artists.
Got you.
In Charlotte, which is a really beautiful thing to also just like be a part of and to see like on opening night, and you're all there and you're all just like celebrating.
Yeah.
Being amongst each other. It's very beautiful.
That's super dope. That's amazing. That's awesome. That's cool you were part of that. I mean, like, it's cool reading your whole thing. You're part of a bunch of shows. I wish I could talk to you about all of them, but you know, we'll be here for hours. So other than that one, was there any come to mind that you were really proud of? I mean, a number of them.
I did one here, and I'm proud of the work, but for me it was more so like I love that exhibitions are just a way to like bridge people together.
Yes, I agree.
Like it's fun to go to an opening and just like celebrate people and celebrate their work. And so I'd done one here with curator slash artist slash amazing person named Marin, and we did she curated me and another artist whose name I'm blanking on right now, Shantae, and we did a show at a local gallery here in Phoenix, and I was really proud of just that moment of like there's community here forming for me in this new place that I'm in.
Yes.
And I've met really cool people, and that's so lovely, you know?
That's so dope.
I'm proud of that moment, yeah.
That's amazing. You know, I've heard good things about Arizona, actually. And you're in what city again?
Phoenix.
You're in Phoenix. Okay, exactly. And yeah, I've heard good things about it. I have a couple of friends who are actually out there, who moved out there a number of years ago, and they have nothing but good things to say. So that's very,
wow,
that's very good to hear.
About the heat?
I mean,
but you're Savannah, so
I don't want to talk about it because the heat is coming. Like spring is here.
And yo, it's scary.
And it's like, it's not quite humid yet, but I know it's coming. And I was here last summer and it was like life changing. Like it's like, makes you contemplate where you live. And the heat out there, like, that's a different kind of heat.
It's really insane in its own way.
I mean, when you see, like, over 100 degrees, you're just like...
Over 110.
Have you been in that environment? Yeah, have you been
like
there?
When consistently it's consistently, like, 115.
What do you even... what do you do? Like, you don't go outside.
No.
So you hope the AC stays on.
Yeah. You have a good one. Because that's also another problem.
That is
so hot. It's so hot that the ACs are also like fighting for their lives.
Dude. We're all in a crowd in New York with Sean when it's summertime because this is perfect in New York. I swear, every time it's like, I just need to go to New York for the summer. You know what I'm saying? My gosh.
Yes.
But no, because I want to hear how and why you chose Arizona for school for your MFA, because that's obviously so far away from everything. And let's go from there.
I mean, it was insane. I always say it was very random for me. When I left Lowe's, while I was at Lowe's, I was juggling trying to show work. I was with Goodyear community and showing work that way. And then I was juggling working. And I just got tired of doing both. I think my residency made me feel like I want more time doing this. Like 6 weeks gave me a little glimpse of like, maybe I should think about grad school because I'd have more time to really focus on like developing my practice. And I don't want distractions. I don't want to have to work till 5 and then try to, you know?
Bruh, yes.
I need that isolated time. So I started thinking about it. I applied mostly to East Coast schools because I was actually really happy in Charlotte and like I didn't want to go too far if I was gonna go.
Okay.
I like the South. A lot of the work and the things that I'm dealing with makes sense to be in that region. But I didn't want to pay for grad school. I wanted to go to a program that would give me full funding. So that was like my biggest motivation.
Ooh, full funding. Let's go.
Yeah. So, on a whim, I'd applied to like 3 schools. Someone advised that I should look at New Mexico or ASU because they have great funding. And I was like, great funding. Okay. Like I will apply.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up applying to 4 schools in total. I interviewed at 2. I interviewed at Hudson in New York, and my interview wasn't that great.
Okay.
So okay. I interviewed at ASU, and I really loved my interview. I feel like they had looked at my portfolio, they'd read my statement, you know, and the conversation was good. I was actually waitlisted.
Ah.
Yeah. And then they ended up telling me that they were able to like find and grant me full funding to come out to ASU. So that's how I ended up here. I never thought I might live in Arizona, you know. I thought Phoenix was cool, but like I'd been here for a weekend. That was the most ever. You know, like the desert sounds cool, but I didn't think about it. I didn't think about ASU. I didn't know anything about it. I just knew that like, okay, I'm not going to pay for grad school. I get a free studio space. I get a little bit of money. Like, okay, I'll do it.
Yo, that's lit. So what was going through your head? I mean, obviously your initial thing was not to go far, but you were like, okay, I'm going to Arizona. Did you have any, Amanda, you had a little showcase there, but that was that where you were already out there or was that before?
No, I was here by the time that happened.
So they were here, okay, you were already there then. But you, as far as like support, like friends, like.
I was devastated.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you didn't have any, you know, support, and that's scary. That's terrifying. God.
I was devastated. Like I said, I loved my life in Charlotte. I lived like next to all my friends in a neighborhood I really liked. Like I drove home every Sunday to have lunch with my parents.
Oh.
Like, you know, yeah. I liked my life. I liked my life. I was devastated. I was so devastated.
Yo.
And it was hard to adjust here. It was so hard.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Would you even say
I can't even downplay it?
I don't want you. I don't want you to. I don't want you to be. That's real stuff. I mean, you're thrown into the unknown, and the unknown is a scary place. Yeah. But
and I like change. You know, I'm not opposed to it. I knew I was doing the right thing. Like, you can know you're doing the right thing, but like, still, it sucks.
It still sucks. And change sucks a lot of the times, even though you know the outcome of it is going to be amazing. You know, after you graduate, it's going to make sense. You're going to thrive and be wonderful.
Right.
You know, but, you know, and you graduate when? In 25?
Yes.
Okay. It's going to fly by. So, yes, tell us about your time there right now. Like, tell us
how much time do you have?
Okay. Go through, like, maybe some of the highlights so far, and maybe, you know, some of the things. We, like I said, we could be here all night going through all that stuff.
Okay. It's an adjustment in a different way, because I thought, because I was, like, in the corporate space, that I could handle anything. Mm. And it's just, it's a different dynamic. It's been a different shift, like, from one institution to another kind of institution. My friends here, I love. So I love, like, a lot of the people who I'm in the program with. I feel like I've met, like, lifelong friends. And I think that's half of, like, honestly, if you don't like the people you're with in your program, you're probably not going to make it. At least I know that for me. Like, there's no way. There's no way. So I love the artists that I'm around. I love that grad school, all I need to do is research and do critiques and talk about art all day. Like, that's really fun. And it's also given me, like, time and space to think about what I want to do. You know, like, sometimes you need a bit of time before you make the next move.
Yes.
About whatever direction you're in. And I like that grad school is kind of like this moment where I can think about it slowly. Ooh. And consider all the things.
Yeah, okay.
Consider what type of life I want after this.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you could guess, or if you had, like, an idea of where you would want to go, where, mm-hmm. where do you think you'll stay in, come into East Coast, stay out the West, big city? Like, what are you envisioning?
I mean, the ultimate answer is I'll go wherever opportunity is.
Okay, fair.
Right?
Yes.
But, like, ideally, I do think I want to be situated back in the Southeast.
Mm.
Only because I think a lot of my research and a lot of the kind of conversations I have in my work is relevant to that region.
So okay. It's like,
it kind of makes sense, you know, in that space. It's really different. Like, artists, not that you have to think about who's going to see it and how people are going to receive it, but it is different as an artist to show work in one culture and shift it to another culture and shift it to another environment.
Yes.
It's really, like, it's different. So that's something that I've been made aware of. I might try New York.
Let's go. And you'll be seeing me if you go to New York. Come visit. I love going to New York. That's cool. I think you would honestly thrive anywhere. I think your work is amazing. And obviously the big part of us being here, because this is what made me, I was gonna know it's gonna hit you up eventually, but I know you have a showcase coming up in South Carolina.
Yes,
in South Carolina. Can you tell us about that before, because that's kind of main reason of me hitting you up, but yes, exactly. So you tell us about that.
Yeah, so I have a show at the Chaplin Cultural Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Spartanburg. And there's a gallery in there that's a part of USC Upstate, which is a university in South Carolina. And I actually was reached out about a year ago about potentially doing, like, a solo show there.
Mm.
from a curator named Lex, who actually ended up moving on to another opportunity. But yeah, the title of the show is called Of Natal Lands. And so a lot of my work kind of questions like origin, where things are really from, how things come to be, especially amongst people in the African diaspora. So I'm really interested in how like we find similarities in food, no matter where you are in the African diaspora, right? Like yams and greens, and, you know, or like music, certain musicality, certain performances, certain sayings. Like it doesn't matter where you are, there's like this intuitive understanding of certain things. And so a lot of my patterns and textiles are inspired by that idea of like all the parallels and intersections.
Oh my God. I love so that.
Be about, yeah.
That's so dope. And I'm curious, and this kind of goes back to the roots of, I mean, where you were originally from and born. Does, I feel like a lot of this is coming from, yeah, like, you know, your natural roots. I mean, where you were born, obviously your family, you said your mom and dad are very much still, you know, heavily within the culture. As far as, I guess, their dress and their wear and all that stuff too?
Not necessarily in the way that they dress, but it's just the way that they are. They are, came here, what, maybe late 30s? Like, it's going to take a lot for to, like, completely assimilate in certain ways.
Gotcha. Okay. Because a lot of pattern stuff to me kind of came out of like, okay, this kind of makes sense. Which,
yes, I did grow up around that. And my mom does wear like those patterns and stuff around the house. It was just such a normal, it's like the way, I don't know, like people wear robes in the house. Like it's just, it was a very kind of normal thing to see. So yeah, it's very inspired by those textiles and those fabrics. And
that's so dope. Have you been back?
No, but I'm really, I think it's going to happen this summer.
Oh, that's going to be so crazy. Oh, man. Yeah. That's so amazing. I'm looking forward to just everything you do. You know, I'm always going to keep an eye out on the people I interview, obviously. I think you're a dope person, regardless of that. But, thank you for your time. This is so dope. And that, how long will the show be up?
The show opens on the 21st of March, and it comes down the 1st of May.
Okay. So, okay. Oh man, perfect. Oh yes, that's a okay. That's a decent amount of time.
And a half.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go. And you'll be there for obviously the beginning of it and the end, or just?
I think I'll only be there for the opening.
The opening. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. The 21st. Okay.
Unless I get money to fly out for the closing.
They should. The closing ceremony is always nice, you know? But, yo, congrats on everything you've done. I hope you're very proud of yourself. I mean, it's cool that you've been creating, I feel like, since birth. And you're still doing it, you know? And, like, the work is phenomenal, and I hope nothing for the best for you. As I told Sean, I'm probably going to maybe have your closing ending show in Arizona. So you can probably might expect me to jump out there as well.
Oh my gosh, I'd love for everyone to fly out.
Yo.
Everybody.
Yeah. I don't think Sean believed me when I told him. I was like, when you graduate, I'm going to come. Yeah.
As long as it's not too hot. Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't be too hot.
It's, if it's hot or not, the show is going to be inside. We'll be okay. But no.
Bring a fan. Wear a lot of linen.
Yeah, I'm going to sweat through it all anyways. It don't matter. But no, thank you for your time. I know you're very busy right now doing your thing, but I thank you so much for being on the Free Pizza Journey. This will be up before the show starts. It'll be up early next week. And yeah, we'll keep in touch.
Thank you so much. I was super excited to to be in conversation with you.
Absolutely. And this won't be the last time. We'll have you back again when you're wherever you are in the world.
Maybe we'll meet in New York again. We'll like make it a thing. Like,
yo, hey, you let me know. Any excuse to go to New York City, I will go. I was going to move there before I moved here. And so luckily I can get there pretty easily from here. But yeah, that was my goal. Yeah, that was my goal before I came here. But let me wrap this up and we'll talk after. But yo, yes, obviously, and you're not taking commissions right now, right?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you're kind of doing your school thing. But everyone, please check out the work. It's beautiful. It's insane. catch me. Yes. I'm a big fan. So, yo, support any way you can. Maybe one day you'll be open up your books and do your thing. But until now, just we can admire your work that you're putting out and everything on your website. I'll put all your information, all your Instagram and all that stuff in the description. But yes, thank you again. And I look forward to talking to you and seeing you soon.
Thank you.
Of course. All right, guys, we're out of here. Later.
Thank you for listening to Free Pizza Podcast, where all your wildest dreams come true. Available on all streaming platforms. So listen up and listen down, because these episodes come on every week, and they're the best around.